You know, we've been doing a series on mental health, and we're going to, just because it was a series, we're going to officially finish that series today, but that doesn't mean looking after your mental health finishes, yeah? But what I came to the conclusion of is that if we hear the word of God, apply the word of God, we'll be mentally well. No matter whether it has the name of a series over or not, that you will be mentally well if we do what the Word of God says. If we hear God's Word, if we apply God's Word, if we do it His way, we will get His results. Amen? Now, let me bring you back to what the Word of the Lord was at the beginning of the year so that we can continue to set this platform. Isaiah 55 says that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. What we got out of this year is if you do it God's way, you will get God's results. If you do it your way, you will get results, but you can't start blaming God that you didn't get His results. It doesn't matter who says it. It doesn't matter what preacher, what teacher, what book. It doesn't matter what guru, what TV personality, what they say. If God says it, you get God's results. But if God doesn't say it, so we know when we fail and we are in the gutter as Christians, the Christian gutter. Do you know what that means? We've done something our way and we've got our results. But when we're walking with God in righteousness and holiness and joy, we're getting His results, aren't we? We're alive. So what's the key? Do it His way. Get His results. We were praying on Tuesday night in Bray. We had a tremendous prayer meeting. There was four of us there. And words are words and words are nice. And words... prayers can be good, prayers can be nice, and God hears prayers, yeah? But there's times when the Spirit takes the prayers and He makes them spirit. The words become spirit. And they penetrate in a way that just words that are nice words can't. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and makes it real to us and inspires faith in us. And it was that type of flow. We were praying prayers, but then those prayers started to take off like and went into another gear, and you were like, wow, did you catch that? Did you catch that? And it was coming from the four corners of the room. And I was praying, and we were praying for the worship team. Not just Liberty worship team. Liberty is one church in many locations. So when I say the worship team, it's all the worship team. And we prayed for fire. We prayed that the stage would become an altar. And that the Word of God would fall on the altar. And the priests, who's the priests of God? Put up your hand if you're a priest. If you know you're a priest. The Bible says you're a priest. We're all priests. God, Jesus came away to deal with lay people thinking. Laity thinking. There's no laity in the kingdom. We're all priests. And kings, the Bible says. And so we were calling. It was like then this call came out from within me. Calling the priest to the altar. Call the priest to the altar. So we just start calling the priest to the altar. And I never put a title on my sermons. But I'm putting one on this morning. It's a call to the priests to come to the altar of God. And I want to show you some things. And we're going to head there pretty quickly, 20 to 12. I want to get there at least again 5 past 12. And then I'll call the priest to the altar. And then the Fort of Heaven's going to come down and touch the priest that's at the altar. Amen. Listen to what 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 1 to 3 says. It should come up on your screen. It says, when Solomon had finished praying, they had built the temple. They were now dedicating the temple. The priest came. When the priest came to bring the sacrifices to the altar. This is all over the New Testament. I just picked one out because we haven't got time to go through. But this is from Exodus through. You'll find all of this happening just exactly like this in loads of ways. When Solomon had finished praying, the fire came from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. If you went anywhere in the Old Testament and found a situation like this, you would find the priest coming, like this situation, and bringing Solomon, in this situation, right, for his sacrifice to God, he brought 22,000 sheep and 22,000 bullocks just for his sacrifice. Then the people all brought their sacrifices, and the priest had to go through a whole ceremony of killing those sheep on them type of animals. Nice Sunday morning type of service, wouldn't you say? Like, you know, just getting you ready for your dinner. And they'd bring it. It had went through all of this. It was a bloody mess. It wasn't this nice little clean thing that was going on, you know, like, oh, we kill it here and we package it here and then we offer it to the Lord here. It was in front of everybody, and the priest would come and imagine just slaughtering Solomon's sheep alone. 22,000, and then these other 22,000. So probably about 100,000 killings going on. And the priest was very important in all of this. The priest would come to the altar. And then before he got to the altar, he would go through a ceremonial cleansing himself. He would go through, first of all, before he went to the altar of God, he stripped naked. Exposing himself, exposing any pretense that he may have. And then he'd pull on the linen ephod, the white cloak that was put on him, to cover him. And he went to slaughter these sheep with the purest, whitest cloak or garment you could imagine. You know, blood, one speck of blood. When you're coming to the altar of God, you know what? We're robbing ourselves when we come with pretense. When we come with, oh, I'm holding this back, I'm holding that back, I'm going before God and I'm asking for the fire, and we're wondering why fire is not falling on us, we're wondering why we're not hearing God. And when we check ourselves, we have to check ourselves to make sure that we're coming to Him, in a sense, metaphorically speaking, naked. Lord, this is me. I'm not hiding anything. I'm not speaking one thing out of my lips and doing another thing in my heart. I'm coming before you, Lord, as best as I know how, with honesty and purity before you. The priest would strip off. He would make sure he was naked before God made, and I'm not hiding anything. Because I don't want to be the one that stops the fire to fall. And he'd come out and he'd slaughter those sheep. And you can imagine, there's only a matter of time before the people that are looking at the whole thing going on don't know the difference between the sacrifice and the priest. Because the two of them are bloody mess. The two of them is like, is that the priest moving? Or is that the sacrifice moving up at the altar? And it says when all of this happened, it says the fire of God came and filled the place. The glory of God came to the altar, to where the priests were, so heavy and strong that the people fell down with worship and praise God in a way. When the priest came before God, listen to this, the priest comes before God not looking for anything. The sacrifice to the altar wasn't about the person bringing the sacrifice. It was all of an act of worship to God. All of act of worship. We're so aware in these days that we're telling priests, come to Jesus and take and take and take. But true priests come and give and give and give. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all for you, Jesus. Lord, I don't want just to be taken, taken, taken. Seeking first the things instead of the King. See, if you seek the King first, you get the things. But if you seek the thing, you miss the King. And the priest would come before the Lord. Nothing about them. That's why they'd strip off. This is not about me, God. This is about you. And when they done that, fire came down. Why didn't I tell you something about the priests and the sacrifices and the dedication to coming to the altar? It was time consuming to do all this with the animals. God wants our time. He doesn't want, I give you what I have left over. God says, it's me first. Then everything else. You give it to me first and everything else is blessed. It took time to raise them 22,000 sheep. It took time to raise doves to bring them as a sacrifice to God. It took time to raise goats and everything else. It was financially costing to bring these sacrifices to God. It wasn't like, Lord, there's the bomb, there's the tip, there's the weakest sheep. God says, bring me the sheep without blemish or spot. I want your best. Don't tip me your sheep. Don't come with a tipping mentality. I give you what I think I should give you. God is supposed to own everything. time-wise, financially-wise, it's all supposed to be his. And it took talent of priests, trained people, to actually go through all of this. He says, I don't want your leftovers. Why did Jesus freak out in the temple? Jesus didn't freak out because they were selling things in the temple. Jesus freaked out because their religion had become a convenient thing. The religion had become, instead of the people at that stage raising goats and raising sheep and raising doves to bring to the sacrifice to the temple, the people were now turning up because there were sellers there selling all these things. It was like, come and get your doves. So there was no sacrifice on the people's behalf of time, talent, or financial to raising the goat or raising the dove. And they come in to give God convenient religion. And Jesus seen it and he goes, you don't get fire with convenient religion. It's not just, look, oh, look, well, there's a cheap old dove. We get that for the Lord, a broken old wing. I don't know what a dove looks like with a broken wing. Well, that's me poor expression as well, so. But they come in and they give. And Jesus seen all this. Jesus seen all this. He wasn't angry with people. He was angry with their form of religion that people had bought into. Convenient Christianity. Convenient, I give you this God, I give you that God. That's not the acts of the priests of God. The priests of God is like, God, I give you everything. And in giving you everything, I actually receive everything that I need. And Jesus done a freak or turn over everything because it was costing them nothing. They used to walk to the temple with their sheep. Sacrificing unto God, singing the songs of God. And it got to such a place where we're not going to bother raising the goat. We're not going to bother raising the sheep. We're not going to bother raising the doves. We just get it on the way in Meat Street, on the way to church type of thing. Let someone else do all the costing. Let someone else do all of the sacrificing. Let's use someone else's talent to get what I want to receive. And I just buy it at the gate and make it look as if I'm sacrificing and I'm giving everything. Jesus done a freak. I was like, that's not what the priest is supposed to be. And what happened when all of this was in place? Fire fell. Fire fell at the altar. The priest put the sacrifices on the altar and the fire of God came and the glory of God came and it sorted it all out. Here's another thing that the priest done. It's all in Leviticus. He says that take the hide and take the outer part of the goat, of the animals, the what's them things that go mew, cows, and I couldn't get it out. It doesn't confuse them. And take all that. You know what we would do with that stuff? Because hide you can make clothes out of, leather. We would keep the hide. God says, put the outer stuff onto the fire and get rid of it. But he says, on the altar, give me the kidneys. He says, give me the innards. That's what I want. The sacrifice to the altar is not about, well, God, here's a bit of lip service. The altar is about, I want everything that's on the inside. I want the innards of who you are. He's not scared of our innards. He's not ashamed of what's inside of you and me. He knows the dirt. He knows the shame. And we dress her up with the hide on the outside. And we go, God, I give you this. And the Lord goes, yeah, it looks good, but I can't put fire on that. Because you think if I put fire on that, you think I'm blessing things that are hidden and things that are deceptive. I can't bless that. It can't bless gossip. Gossip comes out of the heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You wonder why God's not blessing some people. Wonder why, how they come getting it. Check your innards. Because if he blesses your bitter gossip, you think God is all right with that. And God says, I can't touch that. I can't fire on that until you get rid of it. Put it on the altar. And we're worse fools to listen to them. So don't just blame the gossipers. Check our own ears and our own heart. We're worse fools because it contaminates our innards. And then we look at that person that they've been telling us about and we contaminate our thinking about the cheek of us. People of God. The children, they're the priests of God you're talking about. You want fire? 1 Peter says, 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. This is now, that was Old Testament, now this is New Testament. What's the priest in the New Testament look like? It's similar to Old. But it doesn't have to go through all the sacrifices to get the fire. Because Jesus is the sacrifice that gets us all the fire. There's a calling on you and I to be royalty, royal priesthood. Going into where the king is. That means, right, we all become royal priests when we become Christians. All are welcomed into the king's throne. All are welcomed in to pray like Elijah. All are welcomed in to lay hands on the sick and see them well. All are welcomed in now to bow before the king, worship the king, hear the king, pray to the king, get answered from the king. We're all welcomed in because of the sacrifice of Jesus. The Lord is calling the priest to the altar booth. To lay their lives down as living sacrifices. In the New Testament, Jesus paid the price for the fire. But in the New Testament, the priests and the sacrifices are both the same. Romans 12:1. In view of God's mercy, lay your life down as a living sacrifice. The priests come to the altar. Here I am, Lord. And the priests getting on the altar. Here I am, Lord. I'm yours, Lord. Will you send fire down? The fire is very important. John the Baptist said about Jesus, can you imagine all of the people around listening to John? No one greater than John. No one in the Old Testament greater than John the Baptist, Jesus said. Imagine the endorsement of Jesus, that John the Baptist was the greatest amongst us ever walked on the earth. But the least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. You and me. Look at the Old Testament and look, and he says, there's no one else that's walked for me greater than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom is greater than he. What was he talking about? If you find out, go back to me. John was living out of an Old Testament revelation and understanding. John was baptizing people. He says about Jesus, there's one coming after me that's going to baptize you with fire, with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It should be coming up there if Greg is, because I'm, or whoever's up there. Listen to what he says. The people were waiting expectantly, Luke 3:15. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John was possibly the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I will come. The straps of his sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. John says, you know, my baptism is water, but when the one comes, he's going to baptize you in a different way. He's going to baptize you with fire. Priesthood, fire, altar, boom, boom, on fire, been in the world for Jesus. He comes, imagine he's there one day and there's Jesus and he goes, everything in him comes alive. Everything in him because he has understanding and revelation. There's the Lamb of God. There's the one I'm telling you about. The one that he just prophesied about, the one that was coming with Holy Spirit and fire. He sees him and he says, there it is. There's the one, and Jesus comes down into the water. You know what John says to him? No, Jesus, you should be baptizing me. You know why? Because he wanted the baptism of fire and the Holy Spirit. He says, hang on a sec, your baptism is much greater than my baptism. And so Jesus, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus says, no, you baptize me so that all things would be fulfilled in regards to righteousness. Jesus said, I have a fire. John says, he has a fire. John says to the disciples, I want you to wait up in the room. I want you to go to the upper room. I want you to wait there because fire is going to fall. If you wait, it takes as much faith to wait on God as it does to walk on water. You know that. It takes as much faith to wait on God as it does to walk on water. Because waiting is a different position in God. Waiting is trusting that God will come true when he says he will come true. And it takes faith when 40 days goes by, 60 days goes by, 100 days goes by, and it still hasn't come in your timing or my timing. It takes faith to keep saying, God, no, you said you will send and it will come. It takes as much faith to do that as it does, probably more. Because getting out of the boat, walking on water is an immediate do or die situation. And he waited in the room. Says on Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. The wind came to blow away the chaff, blow away all the stuff. The wind came to get the sacrifice ready for the fire to come. The wind of God came so they could get their hearts right. The presence of God, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me. I'm sorry that I done that last night, yesterday, Lord. I'm sorry. The wind of God comes, the presence of God comes. As I'm preaching, you should have been repenting of some things. I trust that you were. Lord, I'm keeping my innards to myself. I've allowed my innards to work out in my outers. And people have seen what I've been about. But Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, have forgiveness. Oh, forgive me for that thought. The wind of God comes and it prepares us for what? For the fire to fall. The wind came, it says, it came like a blowing of a violent wind. Nobody was sitting there in the upper room thinking, is that God? Everybody knew it was God. Everybody knew God was doing something in the midst. God was touching people's minds and hearts. And he was getting the sacrifice prepared. What was coming? The fire of God. Then they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on each of them. There's fire for everybody. Every generation, every family, every household member, every single person, there's fire that came and separated. There was someone in heaven doing the calculations. There's 120 down there. We're going to divide this fire up into 120 because it separated and rested on every single person. There wasn't a survey of who was better than who because they were all priests. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire came resting on all of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues that the Spirit enabled them. There's always a manifestation of the Spirit when he comes. Whether it's speaking in tongues or jumping up and down or crying or laughing or falling over, there's always a physical manifestation. Just like these temples, just like Acts 4 that was read out in the room this morning, that when they came and the Holy Spirit came, the whole building shook. There's always a manifestation when the glory of God comes on the earth. People try to contain it. I want to be so calm. I want to be a sacrifice that's in control. I don't want to do this. I want to look dignified. Well, then you're not getting fire, because those who are just saying, God, I'm here. Whatever you need to do in me, through me, for me, will you do it, Lord God, so that I can be all that I can be in you. You can't contain God. We can't be saying, oh yeah, God, I'll have you this way, that way. Oh, you can. Sorry, you can do that. You can. That's all you're getting. You can't pray for fire and then start to try to direct the word of God. It's Holy Spirit come. And then it's Holy Spirit will you lead. It's Holy Spirit will you come. And then it's Holy Spirit will you take control. It's Holy Spirit will you come. And Holy Spirit will you give me the power to do what you called me to do. Let me finish with this because it's 12. The calling of the priest to the altar. Paul says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper act of worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul called all the priests to come to the altar and to lay their lives down as living sacrifices. That fire would come. This is what we're supposed to be, flaming Christians. I want someone to say, see those flaming Christians? That's what we're supposed to be. Priests who climb upon the altar and the holy fire of God comes and consumes us. And then every time when we get off that altar and we meet people, they engage us. And we owe them an encounter with God. The only way we can give them an encounter with God is if we have God. If we have, you know, fire. If you light a fire in the back room down there, you don't have to tell the fire to share with someone else. The fire just is contagious in its own right. So when we meet people, we don't just owe them a good day. We owe them some encounter with the living God. And sacrifices, the priest gets up and the priest becomes a sacrifice and the fire comes down upon the living sacrifice, and the living sacrifice gets off of the altar and walks around as a flaming Christian. When you come to the altar, you lay everything down. You lay down the past. You lay down the present. You lay down the future and you let fire fall on it. Everything is on the altar. Marriage, singlehood, relationships, friendship, work, heart issues, ministry. all gets laid on the altar. Everything on the table, my agenda, my wants, my needs, my time, my talents, my finances, all on the altar. Lord, they're yours. Send your fire. It's not like, Lord, I have an agenda. You have to roll in with my agenda. You have to lay your agenda down. The priest doesn't belong to himself or herself. The priest belongs to God. And you bring everything to the altar. You bring everything, everything. Every single thing, the things that we have hidden away inside of us. Lord, I bring it to the temple. I bring my past to the altar. I bring my present situations to the altar. We come before God with arms full of stuff like this. And we're saying, could I have your presence? Can I have your energy? And we're like this. Can't even see the way forward. So as Christians, we keep going around like this. Why is God not falling on me? You haven't laid it on the altar. Why is God not blessing my agenda? Because exactly it's your agenda. Paul says, it's I who am crucified with Christ. I have to die. I have to die to get what is really, really going to make me alive. Present yourself as living sacrifices. 2 minutes. Here's the way Romans puts that very practically in the message. Well, how do I lay myself down every day? Because that's what Paul says. We could start by making sure that Jesus is the object of our affection every night and every morning. Before we go asleep, we say goodnight to whoever we say goodnight to is talking to Jesus. Lord, thank you for this day. I love you, Lord. I turn my affection to you as I lay my head down to sleep. Would all my dreams be of you, Lord? Would you protect my mind? Would you download heaven into me while I'm asleep? When you get up in the morning, it's turning your affection to him. Another day. Thank you, Lord, I got through yesterday. Thank you, Lord, for the miracles of yesterday. Listen to the way Romans puts it in the message. So here's what I want you to do. With God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. He develops in you well-formed maturity. That's practical living Christianity. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Let's stand. You want mental health? Become a living sacrifice. You want freedom? Become a living sacrifice. Daily offering yourselves up to God. Your everyday, ordinary, sleep and walk and live and talk and going to work life. Offer it to God. Offer your innards. I've had a week of, in some way, of brokenness. And I must confess, it wasn't my own. But I've been with some people. And I'm amazed what's inside of us. I'm amazed at the trouble we get ourselves in. As human beings, I'm amazing at the struggles we live with. I'm amazed at the shame that we hide and behind doors with. And I'm also amazed that there's a God who wants to heal and set free. And I'm amazed at his generosity and his grace towards us. And I don't care what your deal is. I know this, that I'm calling you to the altar today. As a priest, as someone who was welcomed in by God. And good, bad, ugly, come and lay on the altar. Just come before him and bring it to him. I said to my fella during the week, God is after that in your innards. Because imagine how cruel of a father he'd be if he left it inside of you, knowing that he could heal it. That's why he's after some of the things he's after us. Because he loves us enough, he doesn't want to leave us that way. It would be cruel to leave you or me with that shame, knowing that there's a remedy for it. It would be an awful father, and he's not an awful father. Imagine a kid coming in with the biggest beast thing on our face. All blowing up. And I have the ointment and I wouldn't apply it to my daughter. How cruel would that be? Jesus is the answer. And he wants us to come to the altar. He wants to pour fresh fire in us. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit to show us what it is like to be a person full of the Holy Spirit. And that everything Jesus done, we can do. Because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus says you'll do greater things than these. Because of multiplication of people filled with the Holy Spirit. So without going into a big deal, look, you want to come to the altar? I'm calling the priest to the altar. Come on. Don't get left behind. This is a word from God, believe me. Just start worshiping. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. Come right in. You alone are worthy of our praise. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I love to worship. You alone are worthy of our praise. Here we are, Lord. We say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You lay it down, lay it down, lay it down. Just speak to the Lord. I'm laying it down. Name that thing, name that thing. Name it and he'll flame it. Name that sin, name it and he'll flame it. Put it on the altar for the flame to come. Name it, name that pain, name it, put it on the altar. There it is, Lord. There's that sin, oh God. Name it and let him flame it. There's that thing I carried from my past. There's that thing, Lord, that causes me to act out in bitterness. There it is, Lord. Those places that I'm looking for comfort in, Lord, and I've not come to you for comfort or for healing, and I go around finding comfort in all the wrong places, Lord, there it is. Jesus, I'm a priest. I'm stepping into my identity. I'm coming before you because Jesus made a way for me to come before you with boldness. Into the throne of grace. Right before you, King. And I lay it down before you. I lay my life down. I don't want a convenient religion. I don't want something that everyone else does all the costing and does all the working and puts the skin in. And I just come out of convenience. I refuse to live like that, Lord. I refuse to live like that again, oh God. I'm a priest. I bring my worship. My sacrifices. I give into the running of the house. I give into the running of the temple. I refuse to live like that, Lord. I refuse, Lord, to say, I just want to do what I want to do. I pop into ministry and out of ministry because I want to do this. I lay that down. Who says you're allowed to do that? If you're a priest, you listen to the king. He wants to bless us. But he just can't bless that stuff because you will think that's all right then. And he wouldn't be a good dad. And he's holding back and he's held back on you for a moment just like this. Where he can say, now you know why, son. Now you know why, daughter. Now you put it on the altar. Now you lay it down. All of the stuff. You've been weighed down. You've been heavy burdened. Because you've been carrying it all yourself. You forgot you're a priest to bring it onto the altar. Now, Lord, here we are. And we lay it down, Lord. And I say, Holy Spirit, come.